As a leader, most of the people with whom we work and serve, they want to get ahead. They have a growth mindset, but many times they're reluctant to change, and that can be a limiting factor to reaching his or her real potential. It's that factor that will ultimately diminish what's possible for your church, your team, and your organization. How can we overcome and inspire staff and team members to reach the next level in their potential? And what's required of you to enlarge the capacity of your organization? We'll answer these questions and more today, right here on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Well, hey, welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. What a joy it is to have you here with us today. It's going to be a great episode, and we're just excited you've joined us. It's a beautiful day here in Western North Carolina, and just looking forward to a good conversation today. Bruce, how are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, Charles. I'm looking forward to our topics today and then in the next, the next 2 weeks. Yeah, it's been beautiful weather in North Carolina, man. The humidity has gone down. The temperatures have gotten a little milder. And I know I've taken a few walks when I can. And, man, I love the vitamin D that I get in this kind of season.
Yeah, absolutely. We spent some time. We were in Memphis, Tennessee this weekend preaching at a church for their missions convention. And just phenomenal weather. Spent some time walking around downtown Memphis and had to go to the Rendezvous and eat those world famous ribs. And so we enjoyed that, but had a powerful service. 15 people came to faith, began their relationship with Jesus. And one of the prayers that I was praying for that service was, Lord, identify evangelists in the harvest. They asked me to preach about the importance of soul winning, and man, a great number of people responded and said, yes, I'm going to join Jesus in the harvest field. So just still over the moon about our weekend in Memphis and traveled back late last night. Great podcast episode's going to happen today. And then to top it off, it's 25-cent wing night here in Western North Carolina. So we're going to go devour some wings. So it's going to be a great day for sure. So, great ministry and wings just goes hand in hand.
Yeah. So. Well, Charles, you sounds like you had a full day ahead of you and a full belly too.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. It's just going to get better and better.
Well, we're excited to be with you today. Again, it's Monday for us, but the podcast episode for you might come sometime later in the week, might be while you're on the car. It could be when you got some maybe growth time planned in your calendar. And we're happy to help be part of that. We exist for you to help you grow as a leader and to help you lead your church, your team, your organization. A lot of the principles that we talk about are universal, but again, we come from definitely a faith perspective, and we believe that one of God's purposes for us is to grow. Now, Charles, every leader, they really want to see a growth mindset in their team members. But often, some of those team members are content to grow only enough to accommodate the problems, getting through problems, rather than stretching, discovering, and reaching their full potential. So on their own, I'm inclined to think most people stop short of achieving their best. How does a servant leader overcome that kind of limiting factor on their team or staff?
Well, it's the short answer would be it's through mentoring. And as we begin to talk about the meaning of mentoring, what people need is we all need someone to come alongside of us in order for our dreams to translate into reality. And so in mentoring, we enlarge others by affirming their talents, helping them to grow both personally and professionally. A lot of people have trouble spotting their areas of greatest potential, and so many of us need help discovering and developing our strengths. You know, it's often been said the most difficult person to lead is yourself, and so we all need a mentor. We need a fresh set of eyes. We need a fresh perspective, perspective of leadership to come alongside of us and help us to see things that maybe we can't see, to affirm potential and to affirm capacity that's hard for us to see about ourselves. Just someone to come alongside of us to bring strength, to bring clarity, maybe to instill vision and to impart vision. And so we need a mentor. We need someone who will walk the journey with us and help us to discover and develop, again, strengths, new possibilities, new relationships, new areas, new ground that we can cover. And that mentoring helps to enlarge the other person. And by enlarging another person, we increase their capacity to learn and we increase their capacity to lead. And then having been enlarged, they are now better equipped to seize new opportunities and to maximize resources. And now the mentee, their growth can extend to others. So mentoring is a powerful approach and a powerful dynamic to enlarge others. The mentor and the apprentice relationship is universally recognized as a directive approach to teaching, to training, and development that transfers resources of wisdom, information, experience, confidence. Man, a lot of people struggle with confidence, and so a mentoring relationships can really help to distill confidence in the mentee. It provides insight, skill formation. When we talk about mentoring relationships, there are elements of guidance. They guide and contribute to the development of individuals in an informal and also informal settings. And these things happen in almost every profession and culture. So a mentoring approach offers people the opportunity to turn their potential into reality and their dreams into destiny. Man, that's got a nice ring to it. An attractive scenario for someone who can be the mentee. If you can partner and if you can build relationships with people who have a dream or who have potential, now instead of those people just kind of being left to the side with broken dreams and untapped potential, a mentor can come in and help to kind of galvanize that potential and help it emerge into reality. And help the person with a broken dream or maybe someone who doesn't have a pathway for their dream, you can help dreams turn into destiny. How transformative is that in the life of individuals who are looking, really who are hungry to take those next steps of growth? And a mentor is key, and so we want those kind of relationships. Mentors impact eternity. Because there's no telling where their influence will stop. So again, that's a powerful thing to think about, just the impact that a mentor can have. You want to talk about legacy. Mentoring is a conduit for legacy, because that influence, that impact, it just continues on. So as we're talking about a mentor, being a mentor, leading as a mentor, a couple questions to kind of pause and reflect on would be this. Number one, what do you have to uniquely offer to someone from your life lessons, from your experience or expertise? What are the nuggets? What are the gems from your life that you're able to offer in a mentoring relationship? And then who are you in great position to mentor? Who do you need to consider? I promise, if you're leading, there are people around you that you can mentor and that are looking for a mentor-mentee relationship. Who are the people that you've been positioned to be able to mentor? And so just begin to think about who it is that you need to consider leading and enlarging through a mentor relationship. So, Bruce, one of the things we understand about being a mentor and enlarging others, that it's an investment. Could you talk to us a little bit about how enlarging others is an investment?
You know, Charles, I'm still chewing on what you said about the capacity that mentors have to impact eternity. Just thinking of the reach of our influence, when we take time to be that kind of resource for people. And so I think of an investment. I think, gosh, I'm not just investing in a person. I'm investing in what eternity is going to reveal about their potential and about how God wanted to use them. It is an investment. One of my favorite books on mentoring is a book entitled Spiritual Mentoring by Kyle Anderson and Randy Reese. And what they describe regarding mentoring is that it's a triadic relationship between the mentor, the mentoree, protege, mentee. I don't know if there's an adequate word for the apprentice, but it's a triadic relationship between the mentor, that person, and the Holy Spirit. And that allows that person to discover the already present action of God, intimacy with God, ultimate identity as a child of God, but uniquely a voice for kingdom responsibility. And as I've thought about that definition, I'm inclined to think that a mentor takes their cues from the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to build us up into God's ultimate purpose, to build up our gifts, our character, our identity in Christ. And one of the verses that I think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is when Jude tells us in Jude 20, it's an address to the church. He's talking about it, you know, people in spiritual community, people in relationship. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. And I think of that activity of the Holy Spirit as building a capacity in me, building a capacity in you for God's purpose. And it's comprised of your gifts. It's comprised like some things we talked about last week. The activity of Christ, the ministries of Christ, the character of Christ, all of those are the building up of what God is doing in your life to enlarge your capacity for his kingdom. And I think of mentors, the Holy Spirit does that, but mentors embody the Holy Spirit's ministry of building up. We become catalysts at the use of the Holy Spirit to help enlarge people for greater kingdom impact. And so I think a mentor, they take their cue from the Holy Spirit. They take their assignment and a lot of their calling from the Holy Spirit. When you enlarge others, you're doing several things for them. Number one, you're raising their level of living. You're bringing them up to new, maybe some goal-defined areas, some specific stated areas, but also extended areas. It's an exponential impact that you bring into someone's life when you invest in them. So not only you're raising their level of living, but you're increasing their potential. You're beginning to see them stretch into areas that maybe before they didn't have an understanding that this is where they can really grow and achieve new success. You're also increasing their capacity for growth. You're helping them not only to identify new potential, but also you're helping them find new pathways to grow into that potential. And then you're also, when you do this is the thing ministers, leaders need to understand. In your organization, on your team, in your church, when you increase the people that you work with, you're increasing the potential of your organization. I mean, that's the scriptural principle. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And as you raise the potential of the people that are on your team, you're increasing the potential impact and output of your organization. So, Charles, how do we become personally, how do we personally become better mentors who enlarge the potential of others?
Well, Bruce, we have to make ourselves enlargers. So we have to grow into that role. The truth is, just because, you know, we want to mentor others, that doesn't mean that we're ready or even prepared to be a mentor. The best mentors always have a growth mindset. They are both humble and teachable. So that's a powerful combination, being humble and teachable. It's been said that the greatest obstacle to discovery is not ignorance, it is the illusion of knowledge. And so, again, it's this idea of having a growth mindset, of wanting to learn, being humble enough to say, I have not learned at all. If we're going to be able to mentor others, we've got to be humble and remain teachable so that we can continue to increase our capacity to be able to help others. Any day that passes without personal growth, it's an opportunity that is lost to improve ourselves and then to enlarge others as well. So every day is a golden opportunity to grow and to improve ourselves. And when we improve ourselves, we're able then to help others. As we think about the areas where we want to grow, we need to grow, designing plans for ourselves. I just want to say, just developing the discipline of reflection in our lives, I think it would benefit everyone. And I'm speaking to myself to kind of tighten this up in my life again, is to spend some time daily, even if it's just a few minutes at the end of the day, to spend some personal time reflecting on our day, reflecting on our week, and saying, have I maximized the opportunity I've had today to grow myself, to better prepare myself to mentor others? It gives you a time to think about the plans that you're developing for yourself. It gives you time to think about, okay, what are the books that I'm going to read? What are the seminars that I'm going to plan to attend? It helps me kind of self-assess and be aware of who am I turning to for mentoring or coaching. So I would just encourage, especially if you are leading, and even if you're wanting to take next steps into your personal growth, develop into your daily routine the discipline of just personal reflection. Find some time that you can have just a few moments with pen and pad or an app or something on your phone that you can just take a few moments and reflect on the personal growth trajectory of your day. What did that look like, and where do you need to make those course corrections for the next day, for the rest of the week, just so that you're staying on top of, so that the trajectory continues to go in a positive direction, and that you're not stalling out or plateauing. So just spending time thinking, planning, reflecting, I think is critical in having and developing a growth mindset. Just as a practical tool, there's a form that we have in our show notes today. You find those below. We'd love for you to complete and let us know the areas for growth that you want to pursue as a leader. We want to be able to pray for you. We want to be able to help. If you'll allow us to help shape and guide and influence the pathway that you're moving forward in. So take a moment after the episode and just access this form, and I think it will be a very helpful, very practical tool to guide and to shape your personal growth. So, Bruce, what are the qualities? We were talking about, you know, who do we need to consider? Who are we going to mentor? What are the qualities that we should look for in potential proteges?
Charles, that's a fantastic question, and I think it bears some emphasis. We need to carefully choose the people that we influence. What I mean by that is, if you look around at your team, if you look around in your congregation, if you look around at maybe people that aren't directly connected to a particular team that you lead, but you see potential in them and you haven't seen them engaged. I think it's important to choose who you want to invest your life into wisely. One of the factors in a good mentoring relationship is what's known as selectivity. Selectivity describes the kind of person the mentor observes and determines to embody a teachable, growth-minded attitude and a good fit. What I mean is a good fit for you as a mentor. We have to be honest and recognize that some people, we're limited in helping. And it's just because of chemistry. It's not because of anything broken inside of you as a potential mentor. It really does come down to chemistry, familiarity, and fit. And I think it's wise to consider that when you look at a potential apprentice or protege. So be mindful of those things. Another part of this is initiative. Mentors, they need to project things that proteges like. And what I want you to recognize as a mentor is you do project attractive qualities. You show an exemplary life of godliness. You have a very attractive productivity factor about you, a spirituality that people think of. Then they see you, they see a spirituality that they want to embody. For some, you project a genuine interest in helping others grow. I think that's probably more true of us than not true. And mentors should recognize that the Holy Spirit's work in their lives makes them worthy of imitation. That's something that's a principle of the New Testament when it comes to discipleship. And so likewise, mentors adopt a posture to consciously, look for those Timothys, those Elishas, those apprentices to help navigate God's activity and purpose in their lives. So that's something that I think is innate in you as a spiritual leader, is that you're going to have people that look at your life and say, I want to be more like that. That's just a reality of, I believe, the way that the Lord has made his church to grow. You see it all throughout Paul's language in the New Testament. You see it in Jesus's life. You see it in some of the prophets of the Old Testament. There was an inimitable quality about their life that other people wanted to imitate. They wanted to follow and adapt and become more like. So I would say keep the following guidelines in mind as you select these people. Number one, select people whose philosophy of life is similar to yours. It's real difficult to mentor people with a different value system. It's not impossible, but there's real art form to be a mentor for people that are outside of your value system. Coaching might be a better approach for a person that's outside your value system. I think mentoring really needs a shared philosophy of life, something very similar. Number two, choose people with the potential that you genuinely believe in. If you don't have a genuine sense of belief in that person, you might be better off allowing someone else to mentor them. You need to have a real positivity about them. So keep that in mind. I think thirdly, it's important to select people whose lives you can positively impact. And we all have limitations. And there are some people that I'm never going to be a good fit for mentoring. At the same time, God has put some people in my life that I absolutely need to mentor. I need to take advantage of those opportunities. But they're people I know I can positively impact. Fourthly, I think it's important to match men and women to the task that will stretch them. A mentoring relationship should be a challenge. It should come with a rigorous plan for growth. It should come with certain expectations. And I think it's important that you match the right people. So there's that stretching quality. And so keep that in mind as you select your proteges. Also, start when the time is right. Now, be intentional, be committed to the process. don't start a mentoring relationship if your daughter's getting married next month. Don't start a mentoring relationship if your potential protege is going through some kind of medical event. There needs to be time where you can give sufficient time and intention. So you have to be able to commit to the process. So make sure the timing is right. And once you've found the right people, keep in mind that you need to get their permission and buy-in before you start them on a growth journey. People need to own it. So, be mindful of that you're asking people to commit to a growth process. And that in itself, demands some inspiration on their part. They need to have buy-in. They need to be able to own the process. And then always explain the importance of being selective about the people you desire to help and enlarge. Charles, I think when people hear that you're committed not only to them, but you're committed to the hard steps, man, that elevates the value. It helps them see that you've given a lot of thought. And then you're not jumping into something without a lot of thought and commitment. And so anytime you can communicate that to people that you feel like that there's chemistry there, there's the potential for growth in that mentoring relationship, I think that communicates a lot to people about your commitment to the process and your commitment to them. So Charles, as I'm sharing that, what I'm hearing is that high quality mentoring is a more intentional and formal approach. So in your estimation, what elevates the quality of a mentoring relationship?
I think the word I would use is that we should make it a priority. We should make it a priority to take people through the enlargement or through the mentoring process. As we're enlarging people, it is a process, and there is a cost. There is a cost to mentoring. So enlarging others takes time, it takes money, and it takes work. Look, this is not easy. This is not easy work that we're talking about. Mentoring can sound glamorous. Wow, I'm the mentor. Man, it sounds great on paper, but when you get your hands in the dirt, mentoring is tough. Mentoring is hard, and so you just gotta know. We have to prioritize these relationships, but it's going to take time, money, and work. This is hard work we're talking about today, and the price of growth is called commitment. So again, as we're prioritizing mentoring relationships and the mentoring process, enlarging others, we have to prioritize the commitment. We don't want to start and then just back out. You talked about the elements of timing. And so, listen, if we're committing to you as a mentor, we're in this relationship. We're here, and we're going to stay a part of that. So some suggestions to follow that would help us maximize the mentoring process, the enlargement process. Number one, see their potential. Unrealized potential is a tragic waste. So we can help, we can see their potential, and we can help to cast a vision for their future. We can help them see their potential. Casting a vision for their future. A great thought about this idea is that you'll never go higher than your thoughts. And so we want to help cast a vision for their future. Secondly, tap into their passion. We have to be able to go beyond the surface and dig deeper to uncover their passion. Again, Bruce, as you mentioned, coaching, mentoring and coaching, I guess, would be two different kind of relationships, but there's some overlap in those as well. Oh, yeah. And so as a mentor, being able to ask some coaching questions, being able to have some good coaching questions that we can mm-hmm. that we can go to in the mentoring relationship, it helps us to move beyond surface level conversations and dig deeper, especially in helping to uncover the passion of those that we're mentoring. Third suggestion would be address character flaws. As a mentor, we have received permission from the person we're mentoring. They've given us permission to speak into their life and to speak directly. And so we're going to honor the relationship, and we're going to be able to move in and out of their lives with specific kind of communication. And so when we see character flaws, as a mentor, we can move in and address the things that will hold them back. We're not trying to bludgeon people and just, you know, beat them with a hammer just because we hold the authority, just because we have the hammer. Any kind of authority, or lack of a better word, leverage that we would hold in a mentor relationship is not to beat people, but it is to help people. It is to lift them. And so when we see character flaws, or we see people trying to go in what we know is the wrong direction, listen, as a mentor, we can move in through a relationship, relationally begin to help make some corrections. A fourth suggestion, I believe this is number four, focus on their strengths. Listen, it is incredibly hard to drive a parked car. And so we want people to live with momentum, and momentum comes from strength. So focus on their strengths, sharpen those skills that already exist. Oftentimes we try to correct all the weaknesses that are there, but really begin where is the person strong? Where do they exhibit strengths? Where is there some movement already taking place? Let's sharpen those skills that already exist. And we want to be careful that we enlarge those strengths one step at a time. So Bruce, we've talked about a few suggestions to kind of maximize the process. What are some keys that you could offer for us to help people, help grow people through mentoring?
Charles, I was thinking back to, you mentioned addressing character flaws. Uh-huh. And there is definitely some overlap with coaching and mentoring. And I'm a big fan of both approaches. I think both approaches have a fit. And depending on the person that is receiving it, they're both wonderful helping disciplines. Mentoring is more directive. That's where the mentor is directing the growth plan. And coaching is leaning more into the person being coached and helping them draw out some of their own answers. But one thing they both share is a deep abiding relationship that's developed. And I can't emphasize that enough. In fact, we may get into more of that next week as we talk about a really important skill with regard to mentoring. But as I think about, you know, where a mentor wants to focus on and helping people grow, I think there's about four areas in the development process. Number one is attitude, not only your attitude, but the attitude of your protege. There needs to be a determination for one's potential for success. And that means the mentor has to have it. The mentor has to not only believe, but they have to be focused on staying positive. There are going to be times where your protege falls short, and you can't let that rattle you, and you can't let that rattle them. You have to maintain positivity. Number two, I think relationships. People will go along with you if you can get along with them. And so not only do you want to be positive, but you need to develop trust. And that's a real important skill in building a relationship. That's engendering trust. And, you know, people are going to pick up on that pretty quick. And it may take some time to build that with people, but make sure that you give yourself to that process in developing it. Number three is leadership. Again, we would echo John Maxwell, you know, 1,000 times through the canyon. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And so as a leader, you have to be able to project your skillfulness, your ability to lead. And so that's certainly a factor and an area of that's important in developing people through mentoring. And then fourthly, I would say the personal and professional skills. You're working on an individual, and you're going to be working on some of their exterior factors, their skillfulness, their adaptation, things like that, but also their personhood. And so you're always working from the inside out. Charles, you mentioned that no one goes higher than their thoughts. And so it's important as a leader that you're constantly building, helping build. You're not the factor for building a person's inner life, but you are a factor. And so taking some mindfulness in that, it's important to put resources in their hands, whether it's a book that you've found helpful to you, podcasts like this one, magazines, newspaper articles, journal articles. Someone was asking me back when I was doing my dissertation what books I was reading, and I thought, you need to start asking what journal articles I'm reading. One thing I found about journal articles is they really go deep on a topic, and so anytime you can put some new thinking in a person's mind, it's going to stretch their neural pathways. It's going to cause them to enlarge their internal capacity to think about subjects and topics. So again, anything that you can put in their hands that is engaging their mind, something that's not only uplifting them, but also really engaging their thinking, I think is important. You can also do that by exposing them to enlarging experiences like conferences, seminars, workshops, retreats, webinars. Those are important. And then and teach them to be self-enlargers. Help them to break through those barriers of their limiting beliefs. Let me tell you something as a mentor. It's important that you develop trust, because there's going to come a moment where you have to confront. That doesn't mean that you're being the attitude police, or you're being you know running around with your mentor badge and ready to call people on the carpet. But what it does mean is that sometimes the greatest obstacle that people face is those internal obstacles, those internal barriers. And so breaking through those limiting beliefs takes a very skillful confrontational approach that is able to say, listen, that's not helping you. And then helping them to begin to think differently and think of how to overcome some of those limiting beliefs. Charles, is that helpful? Is there anything I'm missing there?
Very helpful. Very helpful. The only thing that I just wanted to, as we're kind of putting a bow on this episode, the only thing I wanted to just mention and interject, we've talked some about, you know, the role of the Holy Spirit in our partnering with the Holy Spirit in this mentoring relationship. And it just makes me think about the Apostle Paul as he writes to the body of Christ, and he talks about the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit is our paraclete. And that, you know, and simply that he comes along beside us. He's a support. He's a strength, and it's kind of a legal term. It would be you would envision that being in a courtroom, and he says the Holy Spirit's our paraclete, and so he's an advocate. He stands and he defends us against the accuser, the one who's accusing us, against darkness. And so Paul writes a lot about the Holy Spirit as our paraclete, but then he follows that up in some of his writings that as the body of Christ, we are not the Holy Spirit, but we act as paraclesis. And I'm not a Greek scholar; I barely speak English. So for all you smart people, I'm butchering these Greek words here, but. He says, as the body of Christ, we're paraclesis, and that we come alongside one another. We're not the Holy Spirit, but God has established us in relationship to function in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to come alongside one another, to journey and to walk with one another. to be a strength, to be a support, to be an advocate, and to help as we've talked all through this episode of mentoring and enlarging. I just want to encourage you that as a leader, as one who is looking to step into leadership, you have a great calling as a mentor, and it's more than just a strategic relationship. This is a divine relationship as you're stepping into the role of a mentor. Again, you're not the Holy Spirit, but we are invited to come and share in the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit, as Paraclete says, to come alongside the body of Christ and strengthen, support, and be an advocate for the welfare and the well-being of other humans, other individuals, to strengthen the body of Christ, to advance, to build the church, and to advance the kingdom of God. And so, as you have opportunity to step into a mentor role, we encourage you to do that. Take full advantage of that, and hopefully some of the principles we've talked about today will equip you and strengthen you in that mentoring journey. So, well, with that being said, we want to thank you for joining us today here on the Five Gifts podcast. Don't forget to fill out our growth mindset form in the show notes and the description area below. Please remember to like, to follow, to subscribe, to share, to shout it from the rooftops, rent a billboard. I mean, do whatever you need to do and go on the journey with us and help bring others with you as well. You can reach out to Bruce at coachingcardia.com. You can reach out to me at charlesrussellministries.com or charlesrusselltraining.com. And we would love to be a resource and be a mentor in your personal journey as well. So we'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.